Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lira, WNYC, and attention Facebook users, have you checked your privacy settings lately? Maybe you should. You may have heard that Facebook changed the way you can manage your privacy. They say you have more control and more flexibility, but does it actually make your Facebook world more private? Some say yes, some say no. So to go through the new settings and how to make sure you share only what you want to share is Kevin Bankston, senior staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, an organization that defends free speech, privacy, and consumer rights in the digital world. He says the new privacy changes are good, bad, and ugly, and we even changed our Brian Lehrer Show Facebook privacy settings after reading his post. Kevin Bankston, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, and I'm glad my post was useful for you guys.
Absolutely, and we'll explain in a little while what we did. But let's start with the good. Since you say there's good, bad, and ugly here, as an advocate for free speech and for privacy on the Internet, what's good about the new Facebook settings?
Well, let's start with what's good about Facebook itself. Just because we're privacy advocates doesn't mean we're not also free speech advocates. And we think it's wonderful that there are tools out there like Facebook that let people share more than they did before. Sometimes people are going to overshare, and that's a concern. But overall, we're glad to see wonderful free speech and social connection tools like Facebook out there. As far as the good in terms of these privacy settings, first, they made a really important change that gave you more flexibility, which was to set the privacy of your content by post. So if you post a status message or a photo or any other content, you can select for that piece of content whether you want everyone to see it or just your friends or just you or other options. And so that's something that Facebook users have wanted for a long time. Another great thing that this change did was it forced users through a transition tool that helped people modify the new settings, forced people to grapple with their privacy settings for the first time in many cases. Most people simply accept the defaults that companies set for them in this area. And so for people to actually have to look at their privacy settings, that was a really good thing. The problem is, and the bad when it comes to that transition tool was that it clearly pushed users who had accepted the defaults before to accept new recommended settings from Facebook that significantly loosened the privacy restrictions on their pages. So, for example, if you'd never touched the default for your status messages or pictures before, which meant it got served to your friends and networks, through the transition tool, Facebook recommended that you change that setting to everyone. Anyone on the internet, and not in a very clear way. And so one of our biggest concerns is that a lot of people are going to accept these new defaults, not recognizing that it's a significant change, and inadvertently publishing to the world stuff that they really wanted their friends to see.
So you got in some of the bad there along with some of the good, and I guess it's in Facebook's interest to have people keep things as public as possible because that's how marketers can see them and that's how Facebook makes money?
Absolutely. I think Facebook's clear motive here is it's you know, corporate profit-gaining motive, which is they want more content on Facebook, so more people will come to Facebook to look at that content, and thereby they can get more ad impressions for the ads that are on the site. But the problem is that Facebook, in the past few years, has sold itself and become successful as an alternative to sites like MySpace or Twitter based on the fact that it was more private, that it was a place where you could go and only socialize with your friends. So Facebook is really trying to revamp the entire basic nature of its service by making it much more public than private. And to do that kind of switcheroo on the 350 million people that made you the fastest growing internet company in the world is disappointing, to say the least.
So listeners, especially if you're a Facebook user, what do you think of these new settings now that you've had them on your own Facebook presence for a while. Were you surprised at the recommended settings? Did you find that you were sharing more than you thought you were? Have you ever been burned in any way by lack of privacy on Facebook that you didn't realize you had? You can get in touch through our Facebook page. We're going to read some of those comments on the air. That's the Brian Lehrer Facebook page. You can call us on the air, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or go to our website, WNYC.org, and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Kimberly on our Facebook page writes, "It's horrible. Why does Facebook think my friends need to see every time I comment on a photo, article, or write on somebody's wall? I had my news feed and wall settings perfectly set, but now I spend more time writing private messages to people. Frankly, I don't need to see what my friends are doing either."
That's a great comment, and something that we didn't highlight in our blog post, and one of the ways that you've lost control, the ugly, and there are a few of those that I'd like to talk about. But in particular, as that commentator points out, there's this thing called newsfeed on Facebook, which publicizes your activities on the site to your friends. And you used to have, before this change, a privacy page dedicated to that, where you could select items that you didn't want to go to your newsfeed. So, if, for example, you changed your relationship status to single, you could select relationship status as one of those things that didn't go out to your newsfeed. Now that whole page has been removed. Facebook's reply is that, well, you can still just delete that item from your profile after it's been posted. But that's after it's been posted. That's after it's gone to your friends' newsfeeds. That's after it's gone out to people's RSS readers or otherwise gone out over the Facebook platform. So, the horse is out of the barn at that point. And so that's just one example of how you've lost control. The other big example of how users have lost control is that Facebook now is designating certain categories of your personal information as publicly available information that you do not get to have privacy settings for, and that people searching for you on Facebook will find that as soon as these deals with Google and Microsoft's Bing are finalized, people searching through search engines can find, and that application developers on Facebook can obtain. And that's your name, your profile picture, your current city, your gender, the networks you're a member of, the pages you're a fan of, and perhaps most importantly, your list of friends. As a lot of security researchers have made clear in the past couple of years, your friends list may perhaps be the most important information for you to keep private, because simply from a list of your friends, inferences can be made about you. For example, there was a study at MIT where, based on analysis of people's Facebook friends, researchers could reliably determine whether you were straight or gay. And one can imagine similar analyses done to figure out your religious views or political views or consumer preferences. And yet now, you have much less control over your friends list. You cannot hide it from application developers anymore. If any friend of yours adds a Facebook app, they're going to get your friends list.
As a matter of fact, based on your post yesterday on your website, we changed our own status on the Brian Lehrer page with respect to friends. And I said I was going to bring this up, and this is exactly what we did, because I, Brian Lehrer, have, as of right now, 3,665 friends.
A very popular guy.
Very popular guy when we have this big megaphone of the radio show. So before yesterday afternoon, anyone who searched and found my public Facebook page would be able to see a full list of those friends. But after reading that section of your article, my team decided to make that list more private.
Let me clarify a bit more on the friends point,
sure.
Because they removed the privacy setting for friends that was in your privacy settings pages, where you used to have the ability to share your friends list with everybody or with just your friends or with just particular friends or with no one on all. And now there is a setting in your profile settings in a completely other place on the site, very hard to find, where you can limit your friends for people who search for you on Facebook. But it's all or nothing. You can either only have everybody see your friends or nobody see your friends. And also people who have mutual friends with you can see those mutual friends. But basically, Facebook sold these changes as, we're going to give people more clarity and transparency, we're going to give them more flexibility, we're going to give them more control. But when it comes to friends, they failed on every count.
Right.
Clarity and transparency, the new setting is incredibly hard to find. On flexibility, it's now all or nothing when before you had more control. And in terms of control, You used to be able to opt out of the sharing of any of your information with Facebook applications, and they've completely removed that option. So even if you fiddle with that hard-to-find setting that y'all modified, that doesn't affect application developers. And if you install an app, or even if only one of your friends installs an app, that app is going to get all your friends. And
that's
we're talking about tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of nameless, faceless application developers across the world that Facebook doesn't and really can't effectively police.
And what we did, precisely to be clear, was we did set it so that nobody can see who our friends are. We did that to protect our listeners. Because, you know, once somebody knows you're friends with the Brian Lehrer Show, you know, the FBI may be on your case. Your parents may give you a hard time. Who knows? But that's what we have that now protected. Nobody can see the list of Brian Lehrer friends based on our Facebook page. Brian in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with Kevin Bankston, senior staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, hi. Based on the vagaries of some of my privacy settings, some of my family made the inference, based on some of who my friends were, that I was gay, which happens not to be true, not that it necessarily matters, but it caused, because of incredible political differences between me and my family, a pretty incredible uproar and some real problems.
Any well, advice for Brian from the Bronx?
I'm really sorry to hear that. Certainly, you can and should use the setting that we point out in one of our blog posts. We have a blog post called Who Knows Who Your Facebook Friends Are that talks about the friends issue in depth. And you can prevent anyone from seeing your friends list other than app developers to prevent that. But that's a good example of exactly what I was talking about, specifically in reference to this gaydar study by MIT. And it's also an example of the privacy difficulty that we face on Facebook in keeping our different social contexts separate. We all present different faces to our different spheres, be it our work friends or our friend friends or our family. And sites like Facebook mash up those contexts. So you're showing, you know, the same face to all those different people. And so, you know, your businessman friends are going to see your Burning Man friends, or your liberal friend, your liberal family is going to see all your conservative friends and things like that. And, you know, we had hoped that these new changes would make it easier to divide those contexts. But as I think the caller made clear, in some ways it's made it actually harder.
And Brian, almost using the exact words from that old Seinfeld show, I'm not gay, not that there's anything wrong with that, but Allison from Gowanus, posting on our website, seems to think it's now too private. She asks, how am I going to spy on my 13-year-old stepdaughter now? She can hide posts. She can hide posts from my husband and I now. Yuck. Also, I find it silly. Either post something you want to show to people or keep it to yourself.
Well, I mean, I think that these tools can be a lot more flexible than that, and I think it's that kind of flexibility that made Facebook popular. And so I think their basic approach is the right one, which is you have a range of options. You can share it with no one, or most information with no one, or just your friends, or your friends and networks, or with everybody online. The problem is that for some pieces of information, you have no control, and that's really our biggest concern. We think you should have that kind of flexibility for all of your personal information on Facebook.
And becoming a fan. You can't hide that you're a fan of something, right? You can hide it in your profile, but you can't hide it on the fan page. So if you're a fan of something controversial, you're exposed. Now, doesn't this totally curb Facebook's utility for political dissent?
I think it does. I mean, a lot of associational activity in First Amendment terms, is people want to keep private or to do anonymously. You know, our founders honored and valued anonymous speech as being necessary to political organization. And I think this is a problem in the context of, say, American politics. In the context of, say, Chinese or Iranian politics, it could be a matter of life or death. And I think these changes certainly hinder Facebook's utility in repressive regimes such as that, particularly when, as we twittered about yesterday, one security blogger has discovered that simply armed with your email address, someone can go to Facebook and obtain all of your quote-unquote publicly available information and all the information you've set as available to everyone. And so, you know, and if anyone who knows anything about the spamming industry, it's an industry that lives on the sale of lists of emails that work. And so you take that list to Facebook, and suddenly you can have detailed profiles of your targets. And any spammer or scammer or identity thief on the internet who has your email address now has a great deal of your personal information thanks to Facebook.
We're out of time, and gosh, based on our phone board and what's coming in on Facebook and our website, we could go on with this for hours and hours. But just tell people about the tutorials online that they can use to help them manage their privacy on Facebook. We have 15 seconds. Where can they find these tutorials if they want to be able to have as much control as possible under the new rules?
If you go to EFF.org and click through to the Deep Links blog, that's our blog.
That's
we
you
have
guys.
A number of posts about Facebook in the past several weeks with our own advice and linking to a variety of resources.
Kevin Bankston, Senior Staff Attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF.org, an organization that defends free speech, privacy, and consumer rights in the digital world. Thank you for clarifying so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.